Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is episode 42 of Nerd Nuptial. And what we're going to be talking about today is sequels. And why did we start thinking about this?
Well, okay, so this week we rented Finding Dory. And we felt like it was an unnecessary sequel. And you might find us heartless for saying that because it's Finding Dory. But we did not really enjoy it, even though we like Finding Nemo a lot. So it got us thinking about sequels and the good ones and maybe some of the ones that were maybe unnecessary and stuff like that.
And what else did we rent today?
We also rented 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, we rented that. And that's technically
kind
a
of
sequel.
Barely.
Barely, but it was good.
Yeah, it was.
And I know we're late on that train.
Yeah.
So late that it was a 99-cent rental on iTunes.
And that's why I got watched.
That is the exact reason why I got watched. So, yeah, we really just wanted to talk to you guys about sequels because I feel like it's talked about a lot online. And for years, it's constantly batted around and trivialized and then, you know, like noses are turned up in the air. But I started thinking about it and I started doing a little research, and sequels have been around for a very, very long time.
Every time you have something that's popular, I feel like they're going to try to make a sequel.
Yeah.
Banking on what was so, you know, successful to begin with.
I looked it up, and can you guess when the first sequel was made?
The 20s?
1916, close.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 1916. Right. It's The Fall of a Nation is the sequel to
The Birth of a Nation. Oh.
Yeah. I didn't even know that there was a sequel to The Birth of the Nation.
Yeah.
Birth of a Nation. And that's absolutely insane. I didn't know that. And I started going through and it started talking about some of the first remakes. And the first remake was in 1904. Which was a remake of The Great Train Robbery from 1903. And guess what it was called?
The Great Train Robbery.
Exactly, yeah. Right. No connection, no nothing. This was before copyright. The Great Train Robbery in 1903 was so popular that one guy was just like, you know what? I can do that. Maybe just a little bit better. And so he didn't even change the names, man.
Wow.
And so he just released it as The Great Train Robbery. It was an almost shot-for-shot remake with just like a little bit more violence.
So this has been happening forever.
This has been happening forever, except back then it was much more blatant.
Sure. Well, a year apart. Like,
a year
really?
Apart. And it's the same name, different dude, different company. And
so maybe I shouldn't complain so much about the Spider-Man franchise when they keep making them again.
Maybe. And the first reboot, though, I was surprised about this one, was in 1955. And it was Godzilla Raids Again. Or The Return of Godzilla. One of the two, I can't remember. But yeah, and so this has been going on since the early days of cinema.
Mm-hmm.
And so why is it we continually bitch about sequels, but yet they keep making them? If they didn't make money, they wouldn't keep making them. So obviously we're going to see them. We're watching them.
Yeah.
We rented Finding Dory.
Yeah.
So we spent money to watch it because it got like a 96%
on
Rotten
Tomatoes. Yeah, that's kind of absurd.
It was such a boring movie. But why? So what do you think? Why are we complaining about sequels? Not what are the merits of sequels, but why do we always complain about sequels?
I think it's partly that, you know, if you've done it right the first time, do we really need to go back? Like, do you think that's it? I think that, like,
could be.
We love those characters. We might want to see them again, but it usually is never quite the same. Although, I'm thinking about some of my favorite sequels, and sometimes I think they do them better, so I don't know.
I think it's because we're living in a franchise world. You know, like we're, I feel like they tried to say like the rise of the sequel happened in the 70s, where that's where you kind of got the numbered sequels, you know?
Okay, and, so like I'm thinking Land Before Time.
I love that that's where your mind goes.
Well, there's so many.
I'm thinking like Star Trek and like all those films and Superman, and you're just like, Land Before Time, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, that one has like how many sequels? Ridiculous number.
Oh, those were okay. Those were that was those sequels came out, I think, in the heyday of Disney animated sequels that were straight to video.
Oh, yeah.
I think we even talked about this one time on the show before, where you had Aladdin 2 and 3, Sleeping Beauty 2, not yeah. Sleeping Beauty 2, but like Cinderella 2 and Mulan 2,
sure.
All horrible animation and straight to video. but no, Land Before Time, I think there's like over 12.
I believe it. I believe it. Yeah. That's why it comes to mind.
But yeah, so I think you're right. I think it's that knee-jerk reaction where you'll never be able to recapture the magic of the first one. And I think that's true for some cases. Like, I don't want a Donnie Darko 2. Oh, well, holy crap, we got a Donnie Darko 2.
Yeah, wasn't it called, like, Samantha Darko or something?
Yeah, it was based on a sister. I just completely pulled that out of nowhere.
It exists.
And it exists. Crap. Well, we never seen it. We never will see it. And so, host of the network, Mike Schindler, he has a pretty good outlook on sequels and remakes and everything like that. He's just kind of like, eh. It's like, what does it matter? You know, like you'll still have the original. Like, it's not going to erase it. You know, like, you still have it. You don't have to go see it. You know, and I think he even brought up The Thing, like John Carpenter's The Thing. That was a remake.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like better than the original in some people's eyes. And one of my favorite movies, Ben-Hur, is a remake of a remake.
Yeah.
You know, and The Ten Commandments was a remake, speaking of.
I don't know. I feel like I'm more protective, though, of, okay, so like if you tried to remake something that I feel like is classic, then I feel like don't mess with that. If it sucked to begin with, then I don't really care. But then I probably haven't watched it or don't have any sentimental value attached to it.
Well, here's the thing, though. You say that.
Mm-hmm.
Psycho.
Yeah.
That's a remake. But it didn't ruin the original for you.
You mean Alfred Hitchcock's?
Yeah.
No, it didn't. But wouldn't you say that...
It was an unnecessary remake, yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that even though that was made, that exists in the world, like it didn't ruin the Alfred Hitchcock one for you.
No, but wouldn't you say that that one is considered the classic?
Well, of course.
Well, there you go.
I don't know what point you're trying to make.
Were we talking about
sequels? How did we get on
the remakes?
Yeah,
we're talking about sequels. I feel like with the sequel situation, it's one of those things where I always get wary of it, though. It's for the same reason of a remake, is that, okay, well, you've done a really good job with this first rendition of the stories or characters.
Mm-hmm.
So why mess with it?
I think there's something weird about this, because when we look, because we're such children of franchise films, we know that there's going to be more. Like when Marvel started Iron Man, you know, like we knew there was going to be another one. Like we knew there was going to be another Iron Man. And then when we got Man of Steel, where we're like, okay, well, that's not the end of that. We're going to get more. And like when we got Batman v Superman, we're like, okay, well, we're going to get a standalone Batman picture, like with Ben Affleck. And then after that, I'm sure we'll get more. And so I'm trying to find a situation outside of franchise films where we look at a movie and go like, that's it. We don't need another one. You know, because I feel like everyone is trying to be a franchise. And I don't know where to draw the line. Like, we're, you know, like, are we so engrossed in franchise films that, I mean, like, Ted got a sequel.
Right. Did it need a sequel? Probably not.
No, not at all. But there's certain, like you said, there's certain times where you just want to be protective of the characters, just like leave that alone. And there's other times when you're just like, no, I want to see those characters again.
Sure.
And I was almost that way with Stranger Things, the TV show.
Yeah, I felt that way too.
Where we're like, okay, this was a great story. Leave it alone. Season 2, let's have different characters.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of feel that way still about that one. But yeah, I mean, well, what are some of your favorite sequels that actually we do like?
See, I'm trying to think of a sequel that's not a part of a planned franchise or...
Yeah, because, I mean, thinking about it right now, you know, you've got your Star Wars, which, mm-hmm. I mean, I think Empire is better than, obviously, A New Hope. So I feel that way. Mm-hmm. But would you call... It was planned. Yeah. So, you know, same thing with, like, The Godfather.
Was The Godfather planned?
I don't know
if it was planned. But, yeah, okay, so some of the best sequels out there are our favorites for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. Like, you have The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that... Chris Nolan says that he didn't plan on making another one. I have a hard time believing him. and also, in the same way that I have a hard time believing that George Lucas had a planned trilogy.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's another discussion for another time. And one film that I think that was really great that probably wasn't part of a planned ordeal was Toy Story 2.
Yeah, yeah. I think I still like Toy Story, the original, better, for sure. But, I mean, it was a good sequel if you're going to have a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, it's like, oh, we're excited to see those characters again.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, with Toy Story, I battle with Toy Story 2 because I really like it. And I like the introduction of the new characters. And I like that Stinky Pete was the bad guy. And spoiler mm-hmm. alert, sorry guys. and I like that. But I'm like you, where I kind of battle with the originality of the first one. Where, like, which one do I like more? But Toy Story 3, that's just something special right there.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's interesting because I think sometimes nowadays, it's like if a film is any... you know, remotely successful, then we assume there's going to be a sequel.
Right.
You know, yeah. Even monetarily, like, it's like, oh, if it made that, then they're probably going to make a sequel. Whereas I don't think that that's always necessary.
Right. Like Interstellar.
Yeah. Like, no, you wouldn't need a sequel to that. The story's done.
I almost rattled off, like, another Chris Nolan film, like, The Prestige. Like, we don't need The Prestige 2. And, like, there was even a joke about Good Will Hunting 2. Like it was in another movie where they were making a crack at this whole sequel fever that we had or that we still do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was like Goodwill 2, The Hunting or something like that. I don't know. It was something ridiculous, but it was hysterical. And they actually got like Ben Affleck and Matt Damon.
That's funny.
To do the roles.
Yeah, but you don't need it all the time.
No.
But I feel like sometimes... filmmakers almost set themselves up that, like, well, we could have a sequel, you know, studio, if you give us enough money. And
yeah,
that it's almost like you can just tell and you're like, oh my gosh.
I'm the first thing that pops into my head is Lost in Space.
Oh really?
Where I remember my dad and I, we saw it, just the two of us, we saw it in the theater and we loved it. Like, I loved it as a kid. I thought it was fun sci-fi. It's cheesy as hell. It is a horribly cheesy movie, but I thought it was really entertaining. And they ended it, like, on a cliffhanger. They're just like, oh, we're going on another adventure. And I remember my dad and I coming home and talking to mom about it. And he goes, he's like, yeah, they're setting up for another one. You know, like, he was so excited. And because he wanted that next one, and so did I, but the movie flopped hard in the theater, and so it didn't get a sequel.
Sure.
And I also remember having a conversation with a coworker of mine when that ghastly Robin Hood movie, I almost said Robin Williams, Robin Hood movie with Russell Crowe came out.
Yeah.
Horrible movie. And it was by Ridley Scott. And at the end, like... it basically wasn't a Robin Hood film because he didn't become Robin Hood until the last 10 seconds. Yeah,
that was really
seconds.
Frustrating.
Yeah, it was super frustrating. And I remember talking to a coworker about how much I hated it. And he said, he's like, maybe they'll do better with the next one. I was like, oh, it had a horrible opening weekend. And like, it's already out of the theaters within 2 weeks. They're not going to do another one. He's like, they'll do another one. I'm like, why? He's like, they set it up at the end. I was like, that does not guarantee that
right.
there's going to be
a new
one.
I mean, that's a hopeful thing on the filmmaker's part, but it doesn't mean that it's going to happen. But I almost feel like nowadays it's like almost the expectation of like, what? It's final? Where's your sequel setup?
Yeah. Yes.
Don't you feel that way a lot of times with many movies?
Way. Yeah. Because even with Interstellar,
mm-hmm.
to go back to it, even though it's a finished movie and we're never going to get a sequel, nor do we need one, and I am not advocating
for
it. Yeah,
I would not want that.
I'm just saying that for anybody who might be misconstruing my words, is that it could... have a sequel. Like, Chris Nolan left some things to the imagination.
That's true. But some things are best left to the imagination.
Exactly.
And I feel like we've lost some of that mm-hmm. in many ways, because we do have all these franchise films, and it's almost like, okay, well, what franchise are you going to go see now?
Right.
So, yeah, I feel like we're in this era where to be successful, you almost have to be a part of a franchise film.
Yeah, it's like you have to beat it with a dead horse. Like, mm-hmm. beat it with a dead horse? People don't say that.
People don't say that.
Beat it with a dead horse. That sounds difficult. but I'm trying to think, like, you know, there were sequels to Psycho. There was a lot of sequels to Psycho. There were sequels to Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
There was obviously
Terminator.
There was a lot of sequels to Terminator, some of them extremely unnecessary. there was a lot of horror sequels.
Mm-hmm.
And Star Trek sequels, Star Wars sequels. And it's just really interesting, because I'm having such a hard time thinking of standalone pictures without sequels, because I'm trying to think like oh, mainly you have to go to your dramas. Like, if you have an action film and it's successful,
why, yeah, you would definitely have a, you know, a sequel.
Yeah,
like I'm thinking Mission Impossible,
right? Mm-hmm. Because the filmmakers and the production studios, they're like, well, we just established, like, we have this intellectual property that is now recognizable, you know. Mm-hmm. Mission Impossible did really well in the box office for the first one. So instead of making just another action film, let's make Mission Impossible 2, because we already have an established fan base.
That's true.
That's how it works.
Yeah. I was just thinking about the Keanu Reeves movie we just watched.
John Wick.
Yeah, John Wick. Where it apparently sets up for another sequel. But I don't really understand why. It was just silly.
That's the thing, is that I feel like John Wick was, like, we're late to the party on this one too. But John Wick was lived up too much in my circle. Like, I had, like, a host of the network, John Mills, loves it. He thinks it's crazy, over the top, which it is.
Oh, yeah.
And he just loves it as an action film, because he likes that it doesn't take itself too seriously.
And it doesn't.
And it knows, yeah, what it is.
Yeah, it does.
And I appreciate that too. But as I'm watching it, all I'm thinking of is, Taken was way more entertaining.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that was over the top too.
And we got a Taken 2.
That's true.
And a Taken 3.
That's true.
We're getting a John Wick 2. Yeah, it's just like, you'll never see a standalone action film. If it does well, you're going to see a second version.
Yeah, well, and let's be honest, like, the genre of drama, you're not going to most likely see as many sequels in that genre.
Before midnight. Before sunset.
Well, yeah.
I'm just messing okay. with you. But you know, that is an exception.
That's a kind of an exception. It's kind of a different type of film, let's be honest.
Very indie.
Yeah. Whereas you don't see that very much with something that was, you know, the content's really heavy or something like that.
Like, you're not going to see Life is Beautiful 2.
No.
Or Life is Beautiful as well.
Yeah. You know? No, that would be a little. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, action films, comedies even sometimes can more lend themselves to those things.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, that's speaking of, like, we talked about Ted,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, being ridiculous for having a sequel, but comedies have sequels all the time. I mean, you look at Ghostbusters.
That's true.
And but that was like an action comedy, kind of, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. And I'm just thinking of just like... Like, I'm thinking of, I'm on the vein of Bill Murray's, like, you're not going to see a sequel to Stripes.
Right.
Or Uncle Buck.
They might try, but.
Yeah, God forbid, but they might try. Like, I'm thinking about those kind of comedies. Like, you're not going to see too many sequels. But then again, you had Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
And all those comedies, and the Police Academy movies.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's in every genre and every place. Like, you're going to have franchises and sequels and everything. Lethal Weapon, that was an action.
True.
Like, there's now a TV show called Lethal Weapon. Why not just make it a cop show? But the reason is because it's recognizable.
Exactly. They can sell that name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I feel like with kids movies, like, why wouldn't they make a sequel? Like, even though we weren't really huge fans of Finding Dory, because we were kind of like, what's the point?
Yeah.
I do understand why.
Yeah.
Because kids love those characters.
Kids love Finding Nemo.
Right. And they, well, any character, like, you know, in the Pixar universe, or even like, let's be honest, like, if your kid's really into Cinderella, if you know, you can show them Cinderella too, even though you may not like it, they're going to be like, oh, yay, I get to watch this again.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, especially since they love to repeat watch too, like I do.
You do, and so do they. But you're right, though, because that's the thing. Pixar does not care about us. They do not care if we like it or not, because it got a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes, and it made really good money.
And if you had kids, you probably took them to it.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, God, thank goodness. It's something safe. It's something that we can rent. It's something that I know that, like, even if I find it boring, it's at least not going to be garbage.
Right.
Because it's Pixar.
Right, exactly.
Like, even if, like, Cars and Cars 2 is a, they're horribly boring movies, which I don't like, but at least it's Pixar.
Right, and you could feel confident showing your kids it.
Yeah, there's a certain standard of quality.
Right,
I think that's why Marvel is so popular, is because you have a standard of quality. Like, some you like more than others.
Sure.
But
there's certain characters you like more than others.
Right, exactly. But you know what you're getting.
It's true.
It's so cookie cutter that it's just like, oh yeah, like a Marvel's out this weekend, a new Marvel film's out this weekend, then okay, well then I know like my $15 is not going to be a complete waste.
Right.
Yeah, I'm at least going to get $7 worth of that, as opposed to some of the movies that we've gone and seen. We're just like, wow, the trailer completely lied to us.
It's true. It's true. Whereas, I mean, think about the money they would lose if Marvel's quality went down, you know?
Yes.
So, and I mean, look at the struggle that DC's been having with their content, that, you know, it hasn't been, you know, the same as Marvel, so they're struggling with that. So it's just interesting.
Yeah, it is true. It's fascinating what gets money and what doesn't. I'm starting to think of certain movies that have spiritual sequels. I always find that a very interesting phrase.
What do you mean by that?
Spiritual sequel. Well, there's a movie coming out. There's a spiritual sequel coming out to Moon, which we know almost nothing about. And I would call Hot Fuzz a spiritual sequel to Shaun of the Dead.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Okay.
Where it's in the
Does
same...
Does it make like the cast the same, is what you're saying? Or like...
I don't know. I think I need... I might need to look it up. Like, I might need to see, like, what determines that. Because the first thing that I'm thinking of, like, the first realization where I had to kind of define what it was, like, when I had to have it defined for me what it was The Fugitive. Great movie.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison Ford, Tommy Lee Jones. And Tommy Lee Jones is a U.S. Marshal, and he has his U.S. Marshal team, and he's trying to find Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
Well, there is a movie that came out after The Fugitive by the same director called U.S. Marshals, and it's starring Tommy Lee Jones and that U.S. Marshal team. It's same characters.
Okay.
But it's not a sequel to The Fugitive.
Right.
Because it doesn't have Harrison Ford. It's not the same story. It's just another fugitive.
Okay.
And it's not called The Fugitive 2.
But it uses the success of a character that someone we liked.
Right, it's in that same universe, but you wouldn't really call it a franchise film.
Okay.
You know, and so I would call that a spiritual sequel to The Fugitive.
Okay.
You know?
I get that.
Yeah.
And I think that there's more like leeway with those type of things than with others, because like you don't have to necessarily go off of exactly what happened.
Right.
You can kind of make your own path to how, I mean, if they do somehow link, then it would just be like candy for the audience.
Right.
It wouldn't necessarily need to.
Right. Yes. Yes. Actually, like, I hate to bring up Marvel again, but I was talking with a friend of mine, and he was talking about how Marvel needs to let go somewhat of this connected universe. Now, not the universe itself, but
constantly teasing at the end, or
like
waiting for the credits.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Or like actually more importantly, the stuff in the middle, where it's just like not every single movie has to be a setup for something else.
Oh.
Like if it ties in,
sure,
great, but don't force scenes in order to say like, hey, just so you know, like like we're teasing something that's going to come out 5 years from now.
Right.
Or like you may be like watching Doctor Strange right now, but we're putting in some Easter eggs to let you know that there's another Ant-Man movie coming out in 2 years. You know, like, is that necessary for this picture?
Right. Right. Why can't you just leave it alone? Like, here you go.
Like, just present us with the story. And if it's a good enough story, then we're going to realize that that company makes good stuff.
Right.
And so we're going to go see it no matter what.
Right.
And so it's inhibiting certain directors from being like from taking risks.
Sure. Well, I'm sure there's certain guidelines that they have to adhere to for, you know, a future film. And I don't know. I mean, I think that's a lot of pressure. Even within your own film.
Absolutely. Well, look at look at some of the X-Men films. You know, look at First Class. I didn't like First Class.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you did
either. No, I didn't either.
And I feel like...
I liked the parts that felt like the more adult movie. Not the kid movie.
Yes, not the kid's movie mixed in with the adult movie. Yeah. I felt like some of these movies... are burdened so much by their own weight that they're not able to just do their own thing, even though they exist in their own universe. And like, you have something cool like Days of Future Past, but then you have Apocalypse, which was just a mess, and then everything reset and every single movie is resetting for the next one. And that's why I'm so excited about Logan, is because it looks different. It looks like it could stand on its own 2 feet.
Yeah. I mean, and yeah, I think that probably will turn off some people because it isn't the same cookie cutter.
You're right. That could turn some people off. And I think that's the thing, is that like production companies don't want to take risks. They don't want something new. They don't want something the audience has never seen before. Like, I've talked to many people in the industry where if you pitch a movie, you can't go to them and say, this is a brand new idea. It'll totally knock people off their feet. It's a head scratcher. They'll say, we're not going to give you, you know, like $100 million to make this picture. What they want to hear is, it's a mix of this successful film and this successful film put together. You know, that's
right,
what they want to hear.
They want the money.
They want the money. They don't want to scare people. They don't want people... to think that they have to think.
Right. Which is probably why like some of those more independent films are maybe more original ideas because they're not going to get the funding of the big studios.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Unless they have a big name behind them. You know, if someone who's been proven to, you know, like a Nolan or something like that.
Yeah. Or if it can't play well in China, then that's right. Why would they market it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, but Yeah, it's really interesting because I hate to talk bad about film culture and audience culture and everything like that, but you and I were, like a couple of days ago, we were having a conversation about audience intelligence and about how the filmmakers look at us and how the production companies look at us. And there was one quote from I think it was Harvey Weinstein, who is just horrible human being from what I've read, if what I've read is true. I haven't met him. And he was like, when Snowpiercer was coming out, you know, that's an original idea. Well, it's based off of something else, but you know what I mean. Like it's
nothing's new.
Nothing's new. Like it's a new idea to film, and you're not going to get a sequel. It's not a prequel. It's not a remake. You know, it's not a spinoff. And it was a high concept sci-fi, and there was an original version that the filmmaker, like the director, made, but apparently it was quote unquote too cerebral for the Weinstein brothers and the Weinstein company. And so they forced him to make a dumbed down version to release in America. And Harvey,
it's really offensive.
It is really offensive. It gets worse. And Harvey Weinstein went on record and said, well, like, we want a movie that, like, even the people, like, from Nebraska and Iowa and the Midwest can understand.
That's horribly offensive.
How horrible is that?
Yeah, that's
because,
really,
like, people who live in New York or Los Angeles are inherently smarter than us who live in the Midwest. Like, it's just, oh, like we're too busy eating corn and kissing our sisters, to, you know, to understand what a high concept sci-fi is. And so that gets me really offended, and I get angry because I'm just like, we're not stupid, we're not horrible. But then at the same time, I was like, baby, after working in marketing and advertising for several years, I do realize now that you have to market towards the lowest common denominator.
So you have to kind of like, yeah. Yeah, because people will misunderstand things. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I don't know. That's the reason why I feel like certain movies we really enjoy, but other people don't, is because they, I don't know. It's like certain movies are so successful because you don't have to think.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can play on your phone.
Right.
And not miss anything.
Well, let's be honest. There are certain days where I'm like, yeah, I don't want to have to think. So let's play something that's just mindless. Yeah. And, you know, let's be honest, it's an escape whenever you go to the movies. So not everyone's going to look for something that they have to, like you said, a head scratcher.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And like, I feel like every single time we have this conversation, we have to say, but that's okay.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it is, because there's, you know, there's times when we don't want to.
No.
But at the same time, you don't want to not see something in a movie because they feel like you're too dumb.
Right. See, that's a slap in the face. Like, if I go to a franchise film, or if I go to, you know, like a Marvel film or a DC film, I know what I'm getting. I'm not mm-hmm. going to have a cerebral experience. I'm not going to have to pause and rewind. I'm not going to have to go like, well, what did they mean by that? You know,
right.
Like, but if I watch something like The Prestige, mm-hmm. I have to pay attention.
Right. Yeah, it's true.
And we watched that today. And like, I think you even turned to me and said, like, why don't people like this film? And people who like film, like, not just like movies, but like the concept of film, like analyzing film and watching film and the artistry of film, they really like The Prestige. And The Prestige is heralded as one of Nolan's best works.
Mm-hmm.
But to the masses, to the wider audience, it was not as that successful. Because it was something right. that you had to pay attention, because they had three storylines going on at once of characters who look very similar in all of these three storylines. And like, at least with The Fountain, you had three storylines that were very, very different.
Distinct, yeah.
And distinct. But in The Prestige, you absolutely had to pay attention. It's not something that you watch in a sleepy Sunday afternoon, even right. though we just watched this on a sleepy Sunday afternoon.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I feel like, you know, For the masses, let's be honest, when we go, you know, spend our money, for the masses, I think that it's like, okay, well, I know what I'm going to get.
Right.
Whereas if it's something that you're kind of unfamiliar with or not quite sure, you might be more hesitant to give your money to that.
And we're the same way.
Oh, yeah.
We're 100% the same way, because we're very careful with our theater money. Like, the only movie that we're, like, we didn't even see Arrival.
No, not yet.
And I really wanted to, but at the same time, it takes so much to get me to the theater that the only thing that we're going to see for the rest of the year is Rogue One. It's a Star Wars film by Disney.
Yeah.
You know, and that's probably the only thing that we're going to see. I know there's not much left in the year, but I think, what was the last movie we saw? Was it Batman v Superman? That can't be right.
No.
Was that?
I don't think so. It was Suicide Squad.
It was Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So not much better.
Yeah, not much better.
So the last movie we saw in the theater was Suicide Squad, which was a huge disappointment. Oh, I want to talk about this, by the way. Thank you so much for bringing that up. This, I want to give this as a, I wish I gave this as a warning. I could have earlier to save some of you some extra money. So I really wanted to watch, like, you were completely indifferent. And I should have listened to you. But I should have done my research. Better yet, I should have waited until the movie was... Until the extended edition was released.
Of Suicide Squad.
Gone online, read some reviews, and figured out what was different, what kind of special features came with it, and everything like that. But no, I didn't. I wanted to get it the day that it came out, because I was expecting something different. I was expecting a director's cut.
You wanted more Harley and Joker.
I wanted more Harley and Joker, and I wanted a reformulated movie. I wanted a different movie, basically, with some of the same parts. And I don't know why I thought I was going to get that.
I don't know either.
Because it's called an extended edition for a reason, because that's all it is. It's an extra 13 minutes. Here's the extra 13 minutes, guys.
Spoilers.
It's the quote-unquote bad guys who aren't really bad guys walking around in the streets from point A to point B just a little bit longer. They have a little bit more conversation. And then we got one more Joker and Harley scene that could have been described to me, or there was a reason why it was cut, because it wasn't well acted. It wasn't well done. And then that's it. That's it. That is literally all that is added. It is like you get 15 more seconds of Joker and 15 more seconds of Harley and Joker. And then you get a little bit more Harley walking in the streets where she's just like making fun of people. And that's it. That is really it. Save your money.
Well, and I feel like it was really false advertising, because like Jared Leto was all about like there was a whole nother movie there. Mm-hmm. Like he was talking. But I think that was all publicity now. It had to be.
No. I think it was real.
You think so?
Yeah, I think there was.
They just didn't release it?
They're just not releasing it, because I think they put themselves in a corner where the director went on record and said, this is his cut of the movie. This is the version he wanted you to see, which is a complete lie. It's a complete and utter lie, because everybody's now aware of the production process, mm-hmm. where they made one version and then showed it to some test audiences. They hated it. And so they had the trailer company recut the film. And then the David Ayers slapped his name on it and said, oh, yeah, no, this is totally my cut. And now we can't trust a word he says, because he's just a company man.
Right.
You know, he's right. Suckling off the DC teat. And which I don't blame him. I would totally. but... Yeah, okay, so if people who liked Suicide Squad will like the extended edition. Mm-hmm. People who didn't like Suicide Squad, don't buy this, don't rent this thinking that you're going to get something different, because it's not.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I was telling you, my students, like at the beginning of the year, I asked, you know, like questions of them, and like what's your favorite movie? And a lot of them said that Suicide Squad was their favorite movie at the beginning of the year.
Why?
I think it's just pretty colors. I don't know.
Well, you definitely don't have to think during it. And it is very pretty colors, and it has a good soundtrack. I guess that's the thing. Maybe they marketed towards high school students, I guess.
Well, I mean, think about it. Like all the merchandise you can buy with it. And, oh, God, yeah. You know, I think that that's part of it as well. I don't know. I think that's part of it. And they're bad guys, so you're playing into that, you know, teenage angst.
Yeah. So, Rebel Without a Cause.
Right, right.
All that kind of business.
Yeah, but I don't know. I was not for it. I even fell asleep
when we
rented it.
You didn't miss anything.
Exactly. I was like, hey, did I miss something? And you're like, no, you didn't. And you were so angry.
I was irate. Like, you were sleeping soundly next to me, and quietly I was seething. I was like, and then like when it was finished, I went to the special features and it said Joker and Harley, the it couple or something like that. I was like, oh, here we go. You know, like this is going to be all their scenes, you know, like just not used for the film. No, nothing.
It was just explaining like their relationship, and that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I know their relationship.
Right.
I've seen the movie.
Right.
I also read the comic books. I know their relationship.
Right. Oh. And I feel like that's all the special features have become too. As I feel like it's just like filling the audience in, and it's usually like the actors just like telling what happened in the movie.
I know, right?
And I'm like, we watched the movie. Why would we need you to tell us what's in the movie? Like, we want to know more information. That's why we want special features, not just you telling us, you know, about the scene. Ugh, it's just frustrating.
That's a trend that's happened with TV as well, where
yes,
like you'll get a like. Like, stay tuned after the episode for some behind the scenes information. And all it is the actors and filmmakers just describing what you just watched.
Yeah, it really, or maybe a little bit of like, this is why we did this.
Yeah,
you know, but barely, you barely get any of that.
Like with Westworld, like last week we watched the episode and we're like, okay, we'll watch the behind the scenes. Maybe they'll talk about how they did some of the special effects. Or, like, maybe talk about the writing process. And it's like, no, it's literally just the actors
describing.
This is
what happened.
Like,
yeah,
like my character said this and did this.
Like, we watched it. Thank you.
So frustrating. Well, okay. Well, we talked a little bit about sequels, kind of went all over the place.
Yeah.
And then I was able to vent on Suicide Squad. So anyone, like I'm just going to reiterate this. If you're looking for a different movie, you're not going to get one. Save your money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ugh.
And tell us online, what are some of your favorite sequels? And maybe you had some ideas of ones that are standalone movies that have a sequel that's not a part of the franchise that we are just blanking on.
Yeah.
So we'd love to hear from you.
Or one thing that we'd love to hear from you, too, is like, what's a movie that you thought really needed a sequel and didn't get one?
Yeah.
Let's look at the positivity
Absolutely.
Of sequels, because there are great sequels out there. There's some horrible ones.
Yeah.
And there's original movies that don't need sequels. But what are some of those movies? What's your Lost in Space audience?
That's right. Something that you really wished that they had had a sequel.
And what you can do is you can go to thenerdparty.com/contact. From there, you can select Nerd Nuptial and then email us from that. And while you're there, you can click on our sponsors and click on lootcrate.com/nerdparty. You can get a great Geekbox subscription service. You get $40 worth of merchandise for less than $20. You go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty, enter in code NERDPARTY at checkout, and you'll save even more money off of that. Another thing you should do is go to nerdsandbeyond.com. They are a great news service. They give it to you straight. They don't fiddle around. They don't give you any clickbait. It's just straight and to the point. I really appreciate it. Check it out. And we have so many new shows that I struggle on not talking about them, but it's so much that it's hard to talk about all of them. You know what? I'm going to talk about them real quick.
Go for it.
We got Aggressive Negotiations releasing on Tuesdays. That is a Star Wars podcast that talks about the minutiae of Star Wars. On Wednesday, you have Filibuster, which is a general geek podcast, but you're probably going to get all different types of hosts from the network because we all contribute to that show. And then on Thursdays, you have my new show with Charlene Schmidt called Punch It, Writing and Pop Culture, which is exactly what it sounds. It's a show where we just talk about writing. And then on Friday, you have SETI Alpha 3, our new Star Trek podcast. And on Saturdays, you have Great Shot Kid, which is another Star Wars podcast, but they talk about the people who make Star Wars and their non-Star Wars works. And we have Missing Frames on Sunday, which is all about catching up on cinema, classics, some not so classics, but movies you should have seen by now. And of course, you have Nerd Nuptial, this show, on Mondays. We have new episodes coming to you every single day of the week. All you have to do is go to thenerdparty.com for all this and more.
I love you.
I know.
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me.